So Perek Hey begins with an argument which is common in Mishlei quite a number of times, comparing the Satan, the Yetzer Hara, to an Isha Zara, and how she is likely to trip you up. And then it says what you should do, the Letaiva. So the Letaiva begins with Pasuk Tes Vav. And before that there's a lament, there's almost like a dialogue, that first the Yetzer Tov is talking, and then the person himself is talking and saying, Oy vey Yizmir, I was not listening to the Yetzer Tov, I fell into the trap of the Yetzer Hara. So let's begin just very quickly to read the psukim themselves till we get to Pasuk Tes Vav. Perek Hey Pasuk Aleph. B'ni, l'chochmosi akshiva l'svunosi hat oznecha. Lishma mezimais v'das v'secha yintzoylu. Ki noifes ti toipna sifsei zora v'cholok mishemen chika. You're always going to be seduced, that's the point, by the smooth talking and the sweet talking of the Yetzer Hara. So here the pasuk is emphasizing 2 points. And then the next pasuk tells you how wrong it is, how false it is. First of all, noifes titoifna. It's sweet. The Yetzer Hara convinces you that its derech makes you feel good. And the cholok mishemen chika, it's smooth. In other words, it's not only gishmak, but it comes without tircha. V'acharisa, but what is it true? What is true? That in the end, mara kalana, it's as bitter vigal, they say in Yiddish. It's as bitter as quinine, as something that's very, very bitter. And that's la'afuke noifesti toifna sifse zara. Not only is it not sweet, but the exact opposite is true, that it's bitter. And furthermore, chada kecheref piyos. And not only is it not smooth, but it's full of razor-sharp edges, which are going to eventually cut you up. Ragleha yardos moves, she'ol tz'adeha yitmoichu. Its feet and its steps, the direction that it's headed, of course, is straight to Gehenna. Oyra chayim pentefales, no magaloi seho loy seida. Now here is a very interesting pasuk, and we'll be dwelling b'lin edably shvur with it at another time, and with the pirushim on these psukim with the bir hagra. But the pasuk tells me a yesoid right on the surface. No one knows the consequences of any particular chait. You know, when we say v'nislach l'chol adas b'nei Yisrael ki l'chol am bishgoga, one of the pshatim that mefarshim give ki l'chol am bishgoga is that we don't know the impact in the olam hashel yoinim of the chatoim that we do. I'm not talking now about olam hashel yoinim. I'm talking about the kishkis of the person himself. Chait is a contaminant. And it has an impact that eventually the chait corrupts the person's thinking, the way he looks at life, and memela everything else that's associated with him, even if it's not directly associated with the chait, eventually becomes tarnished and tainted to the point where the person doesn't even know that he has a hashpah. Now this is a very, very common thing. You know, you think a person has watched television all his life until he was 15, 16 years old. Yeah. So what is the biggest concern of such a person when he does tshuva? The realization that he wasted a big chunk of his life away. So he knows that he doesn't know Mishnayis. He knows that he doesn't know Medrash, and probably doesn't even know Gemara. But now he suddenly takes it upon himself to make up for lost time. And it's very difficult. But that's not the only impact. The impact is how he's thinking. The impact is how he's feeling. And this is not something you can quantify. No one knows the hashpah of shtus and hevel. There's no way of knowing. And many people in the act of tshuva, zedoinos is nasan like a zechuyos, I'm not so confident that it's so easy to assume that what happens in the cheshbon ha-mitzvahs in Himmel is also true in the same way exactly in terms of one's own personality. Although there are svarim that talk about this. For example, the pasuk says, "Machisi cha'av psha'echa v'cha'anan chateisecha." So a Gadol once said, what is the imagery to the clouds? That I wipe away your sins like I wipe away the clouds. He says, when clouds form and rain falls, the clouds create a very darkened sky. But the rain fertilizes the ground. Sometimes, if a person does tshuva, then his previous experiences can be co-opted, if you will. And he can use that in a positive way. But the truth is not so simple. It isn't simply that when a person becomes a Baal Tshuva, his entire life is redeemed, as if he was sitting and learning the whole time. It's an ishtazai. The mashal mahadava daima. There were two people that the two brothers who were the sons of the king. And the king took one of the sons and he said, you stay with me. And the other one, he said, you go out and learn how to run a business. And when you learn how to run a business, you'll also learn how to run a kingdom. And you'll learn how to be a melech. And when the both of you get together, between the two of you, you'll have a good malchus going. You'll act like the melech. And this fellow went out into the business world. And in the business world, he had a rough and tumble kind of life. And he learned how to speak in a vulgar way. And he learned how to put up his feet on the desk. And he learned how to eat in the street. He learned Pashut, all the ways of a businessman, a wild, rough and tumble kind of businessman. And he was very successful. And he learned how to make a good deal. And he learned how to run a company. And then he comes back and his brother dies. So he's now left to be the melech in every respect. But what do you have? You have a person gets on the throne, and then he puts one foot up on the very expensive table right in front of him, and he starts eating a banana while he's receiving an ambassador, because he doesn't know differently. The same thing is true sometimes. A person grows up with Torah in a Torah-dik home, in a Torah-dik environment. He's growing up with a certain kind of edelkeit, a certain kind of sensitivity to many different things. A way that Torah teaches a person how to look at things. By the way, the same thing is true, the opposite. If a person is growing up in an environment which is supposed to be Kulay Torah, and it has in it a lot of negatives, those negatives will come back to haunt him because he doesn't really know how to behave as a Ben Torah ought to. Now, a peeve that many have with certain yeshivas is that they teach you Torah, but they don't teach you Midos. In fact, some places think that Midos is a problem with Torah, because Torah is aggressive, and Torah is, you know, you're in it for yourself, and you have to steig, and what do you mean, you're going to learn with a chavrusa because he needs you? You're going to learn with a chavrusa of Midos HaChesed? You're not going to steig from such a chavrusa. You have to have a chavrusa that confronts you and challenges you. You go to English, English is nothing. English is shtus and hevel. So, what is the consequence of that? You have a fellow that comes to teach Nebuch. He needs the panosa. Oy vavoy if he's Jewish, triple oy vavoy if he's not. And he comes in, and he's trying to teach you a little math, a little science, a little this or that. And the kids are throwing spitballs at each other and throwing erasers all over the place. And this guy's screaming, and this guy's yelling, the other guy's leaving the room, doesn't raise his hand. I'm talking about little children. Fourth grade, fifth grade, sixth grade, seventh grade. By the time he comes to the eighth or ninth grade, you think that it's not going to be a chelik of his personality to have no concern for other people, unless he's exactly like you, and unless he has that flag and that banner that they hoist up. There's no such thing. Every act corrupts a person if it's a corrupt act. And to exorcise that demon, to take that dibuk out of you, requires an unbelievable avoida, which most people are not even aware that they have the problem, that they should be Isaac in such an avoida later on. So that's a push it that somebody becomes a Baal Tshuva all of a sudden, that his entire personality realigns itself exactly right. You know, we have this image like you go to the spiritual chiropractor and he puts all your bones in alignment and now you're walking like you were supposed to Kim Osas Adam Yashar. It doesn't work like that. And if it does ever happen, it's a Siyata Deshmaya She'ein Kamayu that you can't bank on. So that's what it says in this Pasuk. The Pasuk says, if you don't judge properly your true path in life, and memeli you end up straying and you follow the Isha Zora, no magaloiseho loiseido, you will not know how far you're straying. Because the corruption reinterprets every single thing that happens. And memeli the eyes that you should have had you don't have. And if you don't have those eyes, you don't even know where you are. So this is the Seif Pasuk of the argument against the Yetzer Hara. Now, who's talking now? So the Yetzer Tov continues, it says, for Atta, and now, Bonim Shimuli, for Alta Suru Me'imre Pi. This is what you have to do. Now that I've described the consequences of following this Isha Zorah, who's going to soft talk you and make you feel like it's the most wonderful and easiest and most perfect thing to do all of these chatoim, and you're going to have the biggest gishmak in life. But now that you know that it's not so, this is what you have to do. Harchek me'olea darkecho v'al tikrav el Pesach Pesach. Stay away and don't go near her house. Don't enter her house. Not don't fall into her clutches. Don't even go near the house. That's the schar aminon l'nazira l'karmel l'sikrav. Pentitein l'acherim hoidecha ushnoisecha l'achzori. This is a gevaldik pasuk that teaches us a tremendous yesod in the consequences of chait. I described it a little bit, but this is even stronger. Pentitein l'acherim hoidecha. Everybody has phenomenal koiches hanefesh. And that's what he calls in this pasuk, hoid, your glory. And those koiches hanefesh misused is like letting the glory simply waste away. It's as if you're giving everybody else your koiches and you're left with nothing. Ushnoisecho l'achzori. This chait is an achzor. It really doesn't care about your welfare. And your years will be wasted, and there's nobody to blame but yourself. No one to blame but yourself. Pen yizbu zorim koichecha, v'atzavecha b'veis nachri, v'nohamta b'achrisecha, b'chlois b'sorcha u'sheirecha. When you finally are loosened from the clutches of your tivus, you'll scream like a lion roaring in pain, because you'll realize that it's late and the whole of the life was wasted. How could I have rejected all of the musar of my rebbeim? How could have I rejected my conscience? How could I have rejected my yetzer toiv and all the teichacha that I heard? How could I not have listened when they were telling me? And by the way, B'soich Kol Va'eda tells me also a Gvaldika Yisoid. Everyone has to be in the right environment. No one has a right to assume that the environment will do the job. You can be B'soich Kol Va'eda and you could still be impervious to the lessons of the Kol Va'eda, to the model images, the role models of the Kol Va'eda, because chait has a way of isolating you. Kimat hayisi b'chol ra, even when I'm b'soich kol ve'eda. So now, shesei mayim mi b'erecha, v'noizlim mitoich b'erecha. So here's a very interesting pasuk. The pasuk in the context of what we have before, that I would like to suggest a pshat. Everyone has inside of him two forces, two aspects that can be called upon if you so desire, and that's the whole Torah, to raise you, to elevate you, to make you respond to the lofty things in life, to the chashuva things in life, and to reject the satan and the yetzer hara right at the outset. One of them is called bar, and the other one is called be'er. What's the difference between bar and be'er? It's very interesting. The Aruch HaShulchan Hilchos Gittin brings this pasuk. Why he needs this pasuk, I don't know. It's pretty self-evident. What's the difference between bar and be'er? Why does he bring Hilchos Gittin? Because the Aruch HaShulchan is talking about how you write a get and the lashonis that you use about the geography of the place of the get. That it says, Almei Boiros or Almei Be'eros, Mayonos, Almei Nahoros. He goes through all different lashonis. When you define the location of the city, of the town, where the get is being written, it has to be described in the context of what river it's on. Right? Like on the Hudson or something like that. So in the lack of Naharis, you write Meberos or Mebora. So he wants to know what's the difference between a bor and a be'er. So he quotes this pasuk. He says, a bor is a cistern. It's a place that collects water, but it does not provide or produce water. A be'er, a wellspring, the water is coming out of the ground constantly. The bor collects what comes from the outside, most likely rain, but not necessarily. You can channel an irrigation that the water should flow from the river into the bor. But most of the time it's from rain. And then you have a be'er, which is a be'er mayim chayim, where the water comes out. Remember I spoke about the other day, Oisi ozvu mekor mayim chayim Hashem tainas, lach tzev lehem bayreis. They have a mekor mayim that constantly produces water, and they go ahead and they build themselves these collecting cisterns. But not only that, but their bayreis nishbarim, asher lo yochilu amayim. These cisterns, the concrete is cracked, the cement is broken, and the water that is collected seeps out into the ground and there's nothing left. So not only did they abandon the Be'er Mayim Chayim, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is me, but they substituted with Sheker and Hevel the equivalent of a cistern that's cracked where all the water drains out, even if you try to collect it. So that's Bar and Be'er. What do I mean that every person has in himself a Bar and in himself a Be'er? So in learning Torah it's true, in Midos it's true, in way of life it's true, everybody has role models. Everybody sees, perceives, and channels the other person's actions, the other person's understanding, the other person's visions. It could be a parent, it could be a Rebbe, it could even be a Chaver. And everybody learns from that person in one way or another and integrates that into their own personality. If it's L'toiv, the person grows and steigs from his environment, from his Rebbeim, from his parents. If it's not L'toiv, of course the opposite is true. But then there is within the person the creative capacity to take what he's learned, and in the same way like you have a Blat Gemara, and you can say a Chiddush, in personality, in life itself, it's exactly the same. There is, from that Be'er, there is the Koach HaBe'er to bring forth ideas, feelings, values, perceptions that are unique to that person. Lagabe himself for sure, and sometimes even helpful for others as well. And that's what this pasuk is emphasizing, that each person has his own bor, and each person has his own be'er as well. Shesei mayim mi be'erecha, from your bor, v'noizlim, and flowing waters mi toch be'erecha. Now, since the person's bor is filled, there's a spillover. And since the person has a be'er that's constantly producing mayim, so what is the consequence of that? Lagabi the future, lagabi his children, lagabi his talmidim, yafutzul mayinoisecha chutza berchovos palgimoy. You should allow your mayonos to spread forth beyond yourself. But look at the next pasuk. The next pasuk seems to be astira mineyube. We just finished saying yafutzul mayinoisecha chutza, that your mayonos, your wellsprings, should burst forth beyond you, outside of you, chutza, lachutz. And now it says, yihiyu l'chol levadecha, ve'ein l'zorim itach. They should be only for you, and no strangers should be with you. So pashtus, it's mamish a contradiction in terms. Here it says, yafutza ma'asecha chutza, and here it says, yihiyu l'chol levadecha. Yihi makarcha baruch. You know, this phrase was made famous in the bracha that parents give children, Erev Yom Kippur, or whenever they want to do so, but the minig is Erev Yom Kippur, the Yehi Makar Chabaruch. Your wellspring, your makar, should be blessed. In this particular context, we're going back to the Mayonos. But it means many things. In particular of the bracha, it means you should be zeichet to have children. You should have a makar, a womb, a procreative ability, which is blessed. Usmach me'eshes ne'urecha. And you should be able to rejoice in the wife of your youth, even many, for many, many decades. So this pasuk sounds very much like a bracha in general. Yehi makarcha baruch usmach me'eshes ne'urecha. But in the context, of course, of what we're talking about limud ha-Torah. Limud HaTorah, Yehi Mekor HaBaruch, what's that? That's your creative capacity in learning. Usmach Be'eshes Nurecha, and rejoice with the Torah that you received from your very young years, meaning the bar from which the Be'er derives. All the learning that you had, you should rejoice when you are able then to take that learning to the next step of creating your own chedusha. Yehi mekarcha baruch, usmach be'eshes nurecha. It takes a husband and a wife to produce a child. It takes here the hashpa and the learning of all those years to produce the chedushim that come out of your own koyach hachidush. Ayeles ahovim v'yales chein. The Torah is a beloved, it's almost like a beloved person, like a wife to a husband. I've mentioned this many, many times. The Rambam says, "Benogeya the Yetzirah for Arayus," that you have to be super careful and avoid all possible inspirations to chait, and you stay away from all of the licentious behavior and the trefa music and all of the things that titillate the person and arouse him. But then the Rambam says, and if Chas V'Shalom he's challenged, what should he do? So the Rambam at the end of Hilchos Yisurei Bi'a Mamish, at the very end of those halachas, says you should immerse yourself in Torah learning. But then we see a very, very remarkable thing. I would have said, if you immerse yourself in Torah learning, why does it succeed? Why bedavka Torah learning? Because Torah learning, if it's done correctly, keeps you busy. It absorbs your mind. It takes you, therefore, away from other thoughts, because there's no room for both thoughts at the same time. So when a person is channeled in a different direction, then he stops thinking about those things that bring him to chait. And if that would be true, then l'cha'ayra, if you have an interest in archaeology, then it would also work. You know, or whatever. If you fadre somebody, by the way, my secret weapon when children are crying, little children, babies, two-year-olds, three-year-olds, when they're crying. Why are they crying? They want something. Or they got hurt, they fell on something. It's nothing serious. But they cry, and they cry, and sometimes they don't stop crying for 10 minutes. And it's good shit after Nelvin, especially when you're a Zayda. Parents, you know, that's what happens, you know. That's why parents have children, not Zaydas. But the fact is that it's good shit after Nelvin. What's the secret weapon? You don't address the thing that they're talking about. That never works. You fachad them. You fadre them a cup. That works. It works all the time. You know, ad kedei kach that I've had occasion where it's been very successful when somebody's crying about the fact that their sibling just took away their favorite toy. I can turn to that child who's crying bitterly and the world is falling apart for them, and I say, look at that spot on the wall. How did it get there? You know that it works. This is pilei ploy. So if that's the case, then if you have a taiva, it could be that archaeology would do the trick too. But that's not what the Rambam says. The Rambam says, Shehi ayeles ahovim v'yalas chen. He quotes this pasuk. And I've always understood that Rambam. I've always felt that that Rambam is telling me a gevaldike yesod.
What's the translation?
Ayala is a beautiful, like a deer, you know, one of those animals. Ayala sahavim, and Yaal is also such an animal. In other words, when you see a gorgeous fawn, a gorgeous doe, right? This is a beloved Ayala, a beloved Yaal, right? And then, Dadecha Yervucha, her breasts will nourish you. In her love, you should be constantly busy. So you know what he's saying? He's saying Torah is a more beautiful wife. And if you're busy with her, every one of your taivas will be satisfied. That's what he's saying. Now you have to be in a very big madrega to be able to handle that. That's a better taiva. He's not saying it's getting you away from your taiva by fadreying you a cup. It's by preoccupying you with something else. He's saying that that's more of a daiva. I don't know if you understand what I'm driving at, but let me read to you the lashon inside.
Where's the Rambam?
The Rambam's last halacha in Hilchos Yisurei Bia, which is the first set of halachas in Sefer Kedusha. The Rambam says like this. You'll never find a call, no matter how chashuv, in any time in history, that there isn't a significant segment of them that are busy with all kinds of treifa and yonim that have to do with arayis, with erva. He has to control himself and has to bend his yetzer. It's not just for tzaddikei olam, he's talking about every average person. He has to watch himself and engage in a very careful project of kedusha yetzerah, of excessive, of extra kedusha. And he has to think the right kind of thoughts. He has three things. The difference between machshava Torah and das nechayna. Machshava Torah means thinking pure thoughts, not thinking erva thoughts. Das nechayna means to realize what this whole Perek in Mishlei is talking about. That's das nechayna. In other words, you have to have a clear thinking that all that stuff leads to a very temporary excitement, which is useless and worthless. That's not machshava Torah. Machshava Torah means the positive thoughts that are supposed to be there to begin with. Because if you have machshava Torah, you will not be able so easily to be ensnared. But then you have a das nechayna to realize logically, to intellect, to infer with your intellect that it's worthless. But that never is your first weapon of choice, because it doesn't work as a first weapon of choice. It only works if you have machshavas tahavis. So he says, v'yizoya min ha-yichud, shehu agayrim agadol. Don't ever allow yourself to be misyachid with a woman. G'doyle chachomim o'yomim l'talmideyem. Hizaru bi mipnei biti, hizaru bi mipnei kalosi. Keep an eye on me when I'm with my daughter. Could you imagine? When I'm with my daughter-in-law. Kol zeh. A lot of times he says you could be in a very compromising situation, but you're too embarrassed to do something about it. The most extreme example of that, of course, is when a lady sticks out her hand. So, you know, I told you many times, I think, about my Zayda, Reb Moshe Menachem Spiegel, one story or another. So there's a meridika story. My Zayda had cut his leg, the kavana, to avoid the draft, thinking that it will heal easily afterwards, and it didn't heal. It got infected, and it was a big sakon. So he went from doctor to doctor. It's a long story. I'm not going to go into the protem. Each one of them is fascinating. But in the end, he found out that there's a certain mumche gadol in Switzerland. You're talking about from Poland. Near Warsaw, he goes to Switzerland by himself. And he has 13 operations before finally his leg was healed. It's a very unusual story. But that whole episode saved him, because the professor, the doctor, the surgeon, became very friendly with him. He was very charming. And this professor was a very religious guy. And they got along very famously. The Zayda used to quote Psukim to him. He spoke German, he spoke Yiddish. The Zayda was very smart, so he chapped the language very quickly. And they got along very well. And the professor became very taken with him as a holy man. So he said, what can I do for you? So he says he needs to get visas to go to America from the Polish consulate in Zurich. So he says, I'll take care of it. Anyhow, he goes to the Polish consulate in Zurich, who happens to be a lady. Her name is Madame Wren. And this Madame Wren, she comes to visit the Zayda in Montreux, or wherever he was. And there's quite a distance from Zurich. And she is going to do whatever she has to do to get him the visa for himself and his wife and his two children. And they should be able to go to America. It's a gewaldige gesach. It's atzolos nefashos. And when she enters into the room, she sticks out her hand to give a big shalom aleichem to the Rebbe, who is at that time, in his early 30s and late 20s, whatever it was. Very handsome, very charming. Pitch black beard, of course, at the time. And mama, she looks like a malach. She sticks out her hand. And the three of them are standing there. He's standing there. Professor Roller, his name was, is standing there, the surgeon, and this lady sticking out her hand. And he says, in a Yiddish-German effort to explain himself, Ich hab in mein Leben kein Frau a Hand nicht gegeben. I never gave a woman a hand in my entire life. She's standing there like that, like a golem, and she feels very, very insulted. Yeah. And Professor Allaire is dying on the spot. Because here he is making the shidduch, and he's thinking he's helping the Rebbe. And now he said, so she turns around, and without another word, she leaves, and whoever was her entourage in the car there, in the limousine, and they take off. And Professor Allaire runs after her to no avail, and he comes back and he says, if you use the American slang, you blew it. Like, what did you do? What's going on here? What kind of a... So he says the same thing. He says, what can I do? What can I do? Anyhow, an amazing thing occurred. A week later, she comes with all the papers. And with Professor Roller, whom she probably called up in tow. And she hands him the papers. And she says, er ist wirklich ein Engel. He is definitely an angel. A malach. And that's the Maisa. So Maisa Shehoya, my sister-in-law, who's of course an einikel of the Zayda. So she was in BJJ, in the seminary, the Beis Yaakov Seminary in Eretz Yisrael, many years ago. And some, I don't know, a senator or an ambassador, somebody came to visit the seminary. I think maybe Dr. Hillel Zeidman, Zichrono Livracha, brought him, I don't know. But in any case, he came to visit the seminary. He sticks out his hand, and she's the representative of the seminary. And she lets his hand hang in midair. So she said afterwards to the Hanhola, listen, I don't know what the halacha is, but in our family we have this maisa, and that's that. You know, that's a masaira for Dairis. So Bekitzer, in the inyan of Yichud, there could also be tremendous embarrassment. There could be embarrassment. He says, don't worry about the embarrassment. You have to do what's right. And that's why the Chachomim, the Rebbeim, used to say these extraordinary things. V'chein, this is the last halacha. V'chein yinhoig l'sracheik min aschoik u'min ashichrus. No litzanus, no getting drunk. Midivre agovim, no words of love and sex, rachmano litzlan, she'elu garmim gedoilim heim. These are always the causes of all treifa things. Vehei mailois shalarayos. These are the stepping stones, like there's a maila madregas going up somewhere. These are the stepping stones to arayos. You don't just walk into arayos. You climb steps. And the steps are the divrei agovim. These are the divrei cheshek. This is the shichrus. This is the schoik. Vehei mailois shalarayos. Velo yeshev velo isha, sheminik ze goyrim letara gedoyla. If a person is married, he's much more likely to have tahara. Yisera mikol zois. Beyond all of these other eitzes, staying away from schoik, and staying away from shichrus, and staying away from divrei agovim. Agovim means things that have to do with the body, with love, and so on. And not having yichud, and being married. More than anything else, what should you do? Amru, Chachomim taught us a secret. Yefana atzma yumachshavtoi ledivrei Torah, v'yarchiv daitoi b'chochma, she'ein machsheves arayos misgaberes, elo b'leiv ponui minachochma. The machshav of arayos can only succeed, you will only succumb to the thought of arayos, it will take you over if your heart is empty of chochma. He could have stopped right here. That was my point. He could have said, you busy yourself with Chochmah, you won't be involved with this Shtus and Hevel, and Memela, you'll be protected. And that's the best way of all. But the Rambam does not. He quotes a pasuk. Ubachochmahu oimer, ayeles ahovim vialas chein, dadecha yervucham b'chol eis ba'avosa tishgetomid. Guess what? Mishlei Perek, hey, pasuk, your test. You see what kind of goinim we are? Right away. The Rambam quotes a pasuk, and we know where it is. So, ayeles ahovim vialas chein dadecha yevucha b'choleis ba'avosa tishgetom. What is the Rambam adding here that he didn't say already? He says, if your heart is empty of chokhmah, it will be filled with all this nonsense. More than nonsense, it's taiva. And more than taiva, it's arayas. So it's really very, very bad. And it can lead you totally astray. And over time, it can corrupt the person completely. But there's an etzah. Make your heart filled with chokhmah, and memela, there won't be room for all of this. If the Rambam would have stopped here, nobody would have challenged him. So why did the Rambam then go ahead and say, ubachochmahu oimer? So he says, I think that you would not understand the point if you stopped short of that pasuk. It's only with this pasuk that you have the full picture. What is the full picture? It's not a matter of being busy with archaeology. It's because Torah is a beloved taivadika thing. And the taiva for Torah will satisfy. I can't use another word. The taiva instinct of the Adam Chashuv. In other words, the lower taiva of the bottom half of the body, you should forgive me, is not going to be able to be overcome simply by being busy. Because a person always has to pause. But if he's busy loving, he won't be able to do anything else because he's already busy loving. He is exercising his taiva. One taiva is totally spiritual, maybe intellectual at the very most, but it's not physical. So how does one manage to push away the other? So that's the secret of Torah. The secret of Torah is that you can have a visceral ava for Torah. It's a meirut gezach, and I don't want to go into it anymore. Those who understand, understand. Those who don't, they just have to learn more and better. But the fact of the matter is that the Rambam is finishing with this pasuk because he's telling you a secret weapon is not just to be busy. A person could be busy with business, and he could be busy with worries about the stock market. He could be busy with worries that his business is falling apart. Or he could be busy scheming how to get to Hong Kong before his competitor. And all of that is going to keep him very busy. But when he gets to Hong Kong and it's nighttime and he's not so busy, oy vavoy, the nisayon. I remember once I was giving a shiur in a place and I was lacing it into them very strongly that they don't do this properly, they don't do that properly. I was in one of those Pinchas Eliyahu moods. Anyhow, Bekitza, one of them gets up and he says, how dare you? And he was right. How dare you challenge us that we're not up to par? Do you know what it took for me? These people, they all travel. That's the kind of businesses that they have. They all travel to the Orient. They travel far and wide. Philippines and China and Japan. Today, everybody goes to China. But in those days, very few people went to China. That's where they went. So do you know what it means to be a Jew all alone in a foreign country? You're away from house and home. You're lonely and miserable to begin with. And all your friends are going to those places, which in a base medrash you certainly can't talk about. And I stay alone myself in the hotel room, and they pull me and they say, come on, what's wrong with you? And I say, no, there's farta ribbono shel olam in this world. You have a right to examine me? And he was right. Because that kind of nisayon, I wouldn't even begin to know how a person would react. Baruch Hashem, we don't have that problem because we don't have that nisayon. But if you do, but there's one secret weapon. You should forgive me for using that expression. And you understand how I'm using it. What happens if you have a concubine right next to you? That's what the Rambam is talking about. Ayeles ahovim v'yalaschem. Now how could that be? It's intellectual, it's stimulating in a certain way, it's interesting. So the Rambam is not only talking about Hilchos Yisurei Biyah over here. He's teaching up Torah. This line could just as well have been in Hilchos Talmud Torah to explain how Torah affects a person is proof of what his learning was all about. In other words, that person who reaches the darga of Ayeles Ahovim V'Yalas Chein, that he has Kivayochel, that concubine, that person's learning is a certain kind of learning. And if a person has that kind of learning and he immerses himself in it, then no parsha of Arayis could take hold. Because he's deeply and madly in love and his beloved is with him at all times. Why to have any other taivas? Where could I have any other taivas? So Meir de Kazach. They say in the name of the Gra that when a person is walking in the street, I didn't see it inside in the Gra Svarim. But they say over in Svarim, in the name of the Gra, that when a person's walking in the street, to be able to totally control his eyes is almost impossible if he's so inclined. Some people are more obtuse, and some people are more infinitely sensitive. But for that person who's very sensitive, it's almost impossible for him to close his eyes. What should he do then instead? Think Torah thoughts. Think Torah thoughts. Now, it's easier said than done. Because the Eitz Ahara is saying, what are you crazy? Think Torah thoughts. You're walking in the street. You'll think Torah thoughts when you get to your Seder. But that's a thing. So there's a famous Maisa with Odel, the daughter of the Baal Shem Tov, you know. One of the Hasidim was walking, and he saw Odel from a distance. So he immediately closed his eyes tight, because he was a very big tzaddik, and kept walking. And Feshtetzach walked right into a tree and seriously hurt himself. So Odel was supposed to have said, better that a chassid should keep his eyes open and think about the Ribbono Shel Olam than to keep his eyes closed and walk into a tree. What she was saying is not so far different, because the person who's somewhere else is not here. And the Yid's responsibility, I always say, Yid and walk the same sidewalk on Avenue J, but on a different planet. It's a Mayudika Yisai. So we have to be able to integrate that in ourselves. And that's a big avodah. But nevertheless, so that's Yalas Ahavim V'Yalas Chayim. Let's take a look at the Malbim. Shesei Mayim Mibarcha. Neged Pituya Yayetzer Lachzef Loi Boris Nishborim Asholo Yachilu Amoyim. Shesei Es Hamayim Mibarcha Shehi Mei Chochma Vadas. V'yesh Hevdel Bein Boru Vein Be'er. Shemei Habor Hei Mechunosim Mimei Geshomim. As we said before, these are rainwaters that collect in the cistern. Umeha be'er heim noivim, and the waters of the be'er are constantly flowing. Be'er mayim chayim. Umam shel now he says, what's the difference between bor and be'er? So he says, mam shel tchilas limud achochma lemei bor mechunosim, ki bitchilo yekabel chukei achochma mipi akabolo levad. Here kabolo does not mean the esoteric lore, the zohar. It means receiving a masaira ish mipi ish. Moshe kibol Torah misinai masaira liyeshua. Mipi akabolo, the Malbim means from other mekoiris, from rebbeim. V'achar kach, after you integrate that Torah within yourself, heim noizlim mitoich be'ercha, they come out of your wellsprings. Achar kach yedamu kamei be'er ukamayin hamizgaber, shemechadish chidushim midaitoi, v'gam yisgabru beliboy mehadas, ad sheim noizlim min ha-be'er lechutz, lalamei Torah v'chachmasoi lezulasoi. Ad ki yafutsu maynasecha chutza, haynu, שיפוצו לימודיו לבונוב ולתלמידיו, ואחר כך יפוצו ברחובוס פלגימיים, שיש הבדל בין חוץ לרחוב. He says חוץ is closer than רחוב. Rechov means really Rishus HaRabbah. That's when you're mashpia on the larger world out there. But at the beginning, we, even though the hashbos are already flowing, but the hashbos starts out with your own dalet ames, with your bnei bayis, that's called bachutz. Uberchovos means even further. So that's what he says. Bechovos palgimayim sheish hevdo bein chutz lerchov, shachutz hu achori habotim, veinim tzoyim shom, rak bnei habayis. Barachov hu mokom harachov, lifnei abatim, shesham hu rishus harabim. Meaning, first you inspire your own, and eventually, this is before kol haloshon, eventually your hashba will be to kol Yisrael. Shachaka kol Yisrael yishavu v'yishtu mechoch mosai. V'yiyu palgei mayim ha-mispashtim l'chol avarim, they'll go into every direction, the waters. This is Mayan constantly pushing out waters, but the waters stay put. They just go in the environment of the Be'er. But a Nahar channels the water in a direction by the pull of gravity for hundreds and maybe thousands of miles. So in this context, he says first it starts out as a Mayan, but in the end it's even a roaring river pushing forward in all directions. Oh, now what's v'hiyu l'chol avadecha, pasuk yud zayin? I mentioned that it's a stira, because here it says yafutza ma'nesecha chutza, and now it says it should be just for you. So he says as follows. V'agam sheyispashtu mayonis chochmoscha achutza, yiyu ashmuris nemoris al shimcha, v'chein schar achochma yiyu l'chol avadecha. It's an amazing thing the way he interprets it. What is he saying? He's saying, how could it be yours and it be the whole world? He says, the hashpah will be everywhere. But the source of that hashpah, since it's you, you'll get the schar for all that hashpah. And furthermore, it will be repeated in your name. That's you, l'chol avadecha. And, but zoloima hagam shetalmidecha mefitzim chachmasa gam lehem yischar itoch, heim einam zarem kinachshavim kibanecha. Okay, so I wanted just to say something a little more personal and a little more emotional. What is the Malbim saying? That L'chol avadecha means that the hashpah will be to others, but the schar will be yours. The hashpah will be to others, but you will be graced with the authority of that hashpah. With who was it that said this vart? Who inspired the oilam? So your name will be mentioned. So that's Yiyu L'chol Avadecha. The signature is yours. I'd like to suggest simply that Yiyu L'chol Avadecha is telling us a very big yesod. A person who gives over Musa, because Be'ikar, that's what this Perek is talking about. Stay away from the Isha Zara and immerse yourself in the Tzad of the Yetzer Tov. It's very, very easy to tell others what to do. And inevitably, if you say it long enough, I suppose, it's got to rub off on the person too. The very first thing, if he's busy talking to people, Divrei Musar, during that time at least, he's not doing anything wrong. That's also something. You spend your whole day giving shiurim and running around from one shiur to another. It's almost impossible to have time to get into trouble. But there is, in the hashpah itself, I think, a tremendous chesaron if the person considers himself not a member of the audience. And not only that, but he has to be a member of the audience front row center. Every time a person speaks, it's chayim retzachayim. Now they say that Reb Chaim Brisker used to say that all the time because he didn't feel worthy of giving other people musa. So when he had to give the Shabbos Shuvah Drasha, because that was part of his contract, so he was perplexed. So whenever he spoke, it was Chaim speaking to Chaim. There happened to be people in the room, but Chaim is speaking to Chaim. It's not just a matter of humility. It's that words are cheap. They are. They're very cheap. It's very easy for a person who's a manuvel to paint a rosy picture. There's no question about it. The tzaddik in Pels can convince the world not only of his own tzidkus, but of the right path to follow, which is in no way the path that he himself travels. Because he has a big yetzer, or because he's full of baloney, he's full of hot air. He never succeeded in integrating all those things that he learned. If a person has a mayon, the only way you can have a mayon is if it's really yiyu l'chol v'adecha. You're the only person in the room, you're talking to yourself, and it works. Then the hashpah can go achutz. There's a sgula in your futsu ma'inasecha that yiyu l'chol v'adecha u'zorim einitcha. And now, of course, Yehi Mekor HaBaruch, let's just finish these two pieces in the Malbim, and then we will continue next time. Li neder b'lishua. Yehi Mekor HaBaruch HaMokor Mitzayin Mekoyim Shemisham Yaschul Neviyas HaMayon HaMispashtim Boim HaKadoma. The source, the wellspring, the ultimate source deep in the ground where the waters are coming from. V'yitzayin b'melitza sha'seichel shulcha yiyye baruch ki timtza seichel tov me'ashem u'samach me'eshes nurecha shi'atoru shikibalta b'nurecha. So Mekor HaBaruch means the wellsprings inside of you should be blessed that they constantly produce, and they constantly produce pure water, and you should rejoice in the wife of your youth, the wife here meaning Torah, and the wife of your youth meaning the Torah that you learned when you were young. Ayelas ha'avim v'yalas chen, ha'ayolo v'hayalo shteyen megurosan al ha'arei boser v'al asloim v'rachmam tzar. Kmoshe kosuv ha'yodata esledes yali sela, right, and so on. Ha'ayolo to'er ava v'ayala to'er chen. These two animals, one of them is ma'er ava, the other one arouses a person's sense of grace. You know, there's nothing more gracious than a swift deer. You see them gambling, you know, easily jumping on the rocks and the mountains. Chokhmah comes from a very high source, and it makes you have feelings of love and of graciousness. When you cleave to the chokhma in almost a marital kind of posture, but intellectually in your mind, and the marriage is for the sake of producing children, and cleaving to the Torah is for the sake of producing chidushim. Yirvucha dadeho limtzei chadoshes. It will nourish you to produce those chidushim, and that will be the love affair with Torah. V'gam be'eitz shalok dechadish chidushim, tishge ba'avoso lachzor al rishonis shekvar hisakto. In other words, is love in the intimacy and love on a daily basis, even when there is no intimacy. So he doesn't describe it the way I'm describing it, but essentially it's the same point. You see that the Torah is being described in terms of physical ava, almost. There's something, now, it's very interesting. The Torah is nimshal to an isha many, many times over. I once wrote a whole kuntras, Matza Isha Matza Toiv, that the whole kuntras purpose, I don't know how many pages, 60, 70, 100 pages, I don't know. But the purpose of the kuntras was to show how Chazal repeatedly make reference to the Torah. Torah is like Yayin, Torah is like Lechem, the Torah is like Tvash, the Torah is like Mayim, absolutely. But the Torah is also like an Isha. And the difference between thinking about Torah as items that you imbibe or that you eat, and thinking about Torah as an Isha is Kirchhoik Mizrach Mimaira, if you understand. So this image of Torah being a wife has many, many, many derivative consequences of perception. It means many different things. But the way the Rambam, and the way the Rambam comes from this Pasuk of Mishlei Perek Hei, Pasuk Yutas, he's telling me that it is an object of incredible desire. That's the point. If a person relates to Torah in that way, it is the biggest protection from feelings of cheshek for anything else. And that's what I wanted to share with you.